Thank you so very much. Matthew chapter number 11 in the text tonight. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? And I'll tell you, that last verse, that's my crowd coming in. Praise God, children. I can go in with them sinners saved by grace. Honey, if you get saved, it'll be by grace. And it's just good to be on the Lord's side. Hallelujah. I hope we shout so loud a rabbit won't run through here for 6 years. Praise God. Old Ralph Sexton Sr. said, make you want to climb a wall backwards. Amen. And a few Yankees, that means climb up the other side. Amen. Don't you just love it when Brian says a few things? And his few things is a series. Amen. But I love him with all my heart. Love you, Pastor, here. And I appreciate him in the Lord. He's going to preach at our Greer Baptist camp meeting this year, week of the 4th of July, right in that time. 79 years God's people's been meeting. Can you believe Baptists done anything for 79 years? Of course, we split 79 times, but we're still having meeting. Brother Fleur be with us. Brother Gravely be with us. Mike Holcomb will be with us. Brother Brian will be with us. Joyce Myers is coming one night. We're going the night when Brother Flew was there. It's going to be a blessing. And good music, good singing, good fellowship. And for you pastors here in the state of Georgia, Tennessee, Easter Monday and Tuesday, Harvest Baptist, where I've been pastor now 41 years, we're going to host the Georgia Statewide Independent Baptist Fellowship. And we'll have, I think it's the 6th and the 7th. And you're welcome to come be with us. If you need a place to stay, let me know. We'll put you up. That's where all the fellowships in Georgia come together for an annual statewide meeting. And we'd love to have you come and be with us. If you can't, pray for us. If you don't want to do that, send us some money. We'll take it. Amen. Credit cards, IOUs. You auctioned off some knives this afternoon. And boy, Brother Sammy would have been here. He wouldn't have liked that. Amen. I'll make hawk off one of Julie's shoes here in a minute. Praise God. But it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. Turn to somebody beside of you tonight and say, Jesus loves you. Now turn back around and say, boy, I wished I did. Amen. Matthew chapter number 11. I want to break in the text tonight in verse number 2. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 2. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And you say, well, Brother Joe, I've never had such a thought as that. Well, have you ever been where John is in this text? And by the way, tonight, it's easy to say what you're going to do and what you're going to say if you've never been there. John's not just in prison, he's on death row, the darkest hour of his life. And his mind's wandering, his heart's failing, his faith is wavering. And he just wants to know, is Jesus the one? Or does he need to look for another? I want you to come down tonight in verse number 4, and I want you to see how the Lord deals with his wounded servant. I can tell you this tonight, he doesn't rebuke him, he doesn't upbraid him. But notice how tenderly the Lord deals with John in verse 4. Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again. And I'm glad what God's done before, he has absolutely no problem doing again. Go show John again those things which you do hear and see. What are those things? Verse 5, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. And I really like this one, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Verse number 6 is our text tonight. Jesus said, make sure you tell him this now, and blessed is he. I don't understand how John can be blessed at all, considering where he is in this text. But Jesus said, John, even though you're in prison, the worst day of your life, you can still be blessed. But here it is. And Jesus said, and blessed is he. And say this out loud with me. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. Say that with me again. That whosoever shall not be offended in me. And I'm going to be honest with you tonight, Pastor. When I read that verse for the first time, here's the thought that came to my mind. What in the world could Jesus Christ, the perfect, immaculate Savior, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, my Redeemer, my Savior, my dearest friend, what in the world could Jesus Christ ever do to me that would be remotely offensive to me? How could the perfect, immaculate Christ do anything that would I would consider offensive? Well, to understand that, you got to understand what the word offend means in this text. A lot of words in the Bible we use today kind of loose. Like the word offend in our day means you looked at me wrong. Or you hurt my feelings. And one day you're going to realize there's a difference between hurt feelings and a broken heart. There are some people today you can speak or not speak and be offended. I learned pastoring. You can go visit them or not go visit them and they're going to get offended. Some people go around with a chip on their shoulder and they just double D dog dare you to knock it off. And how many are like me? You're a professional chip knocker offer. Julie said to me the other day, she said, you bring the worst out in people. I said, oh, that's what's wrong with your mother. But the word offend in this text is a lot deeper and stronger than just being hurt with your feelings. It comes from a Greek word, skandalios, which we get an English word, a scandal. To scandalize. And I'm sure you've heard that statement before. Hey, have you heard about that scandal in that church? Have you heard about the scandal in that home? Have you heard about the scandal in that life? You see, tonight, a scandal is nothing more than a sad story of failure and disappointment. Let me say that again tonight. A scandal is nothing more than a sad story of failure and disappointment. And Jesus is telling John the Baptist on the worst day of his life, if you want to be blessed, if you want this trial to become a triumph, don't let the devil scandalize your life. In other words, John, don't take it out on me what others are putting you through. The word offend in the text literally means to fall, to stumble, to be bitter, to be angry, to turn back, or to give up on God. And I promise you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if the devil had his way about it, he would turn all of our hearts tonight away from God. He would use the unexpected, unexplainable, unwanted circumstances of life to distract us and defile us and discourage us and cause us to turn our back on our dearest friend. If it was not possible for you and I to turn our back on God, we would not be warned against it over and over in the Scripture. You say, well, Brother Arthur, you must be preaching about some young, infant, weak believer. No, I'm preaching about John the Baptist. The Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. John fulfilled Bible prophecy in being a forerunner for the first advent of our Savior. The Bible said that John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The Bible said that John was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Why, John's never been born the first time, and he has his first shouting spell in the womb of his mama. I thought that's amazing. John's never been born at all, and he's already praising God, and we got a bunch of Baptists supposed to be born twice, and they won't grunt for Jesus. I mean, oftentimes in the Bible, you see God the Father working, or God the Son working, or God the Holy Spirit working. But all three of the Godhead showed up at the same time when John baptized Jesus. God the Son being baptized in the river. God the Holy Ghost on the wings of a dove. And the thundering voice of God from the glory world, speaking with a voice that shakes the foundations of the earth. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. You can't get any closer to deity and sovereignty than hearing the audible voice of the Father, seeing the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, and literally, physically touching the body of Jesus Christ. But yet it is this man in this text that has touched the body of Jesus, that has seen the dove of the Spirit and heard the voice of the Father, setting him this prison cell, wondering and doubting and guessing if it's all really real. You say, what's his problem, Brother Joe? You said that he touched the body of Jesus and he saw the embodiment of the Spirit and he heard the audible voice of God. What's his problem? You see, this is before Pentecost. So therefore, in that prison cell, he can't touch the body of Jesus. In that prison cell, there is no dove flying around. And in that prison cell, there is no audible voice of the Father. In this deserted prison cell, all John could feel and hear and see was the misery of the unexpected, uncontrollable circumstances in life. And as John sets him this prison cell and he can't touch the body, he can't see the dove, he can't hear the voice, the devil is doing what he's good at and he's playing mind games. And may I say to all of us tonight, the devil is a master at playing mind games. Our mind is not always our best friend. Sometimes your mind is the worst enemy that you have. If that wasn't true, there would not be so much emphasis on the mind in spiritual warfare. That's why Paul told the Corinthian church that we wrestle not against these things that are carnal and beggarly. He said, but the weapons of warfare, they are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. That's why he told the Ephesian believer, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. That's why one of the pieces of the Christian armament is the helmet of salvation. That's why Paul told the Philippian believer, whatsoever things are good and honest and of a true report, think on these things. That's why the prophet said that God would keep us in perfect peace, but our mind is stayed on thee. And John's in this prison cell, and he can't touch Jesus. He can't see the dove. He can't hear the voice. And his mind's warning, and his heart is failing. And John finds himself in the prison of disappointment and doubt. You say, well, Brother Joe, I'm here tonight and I'm never going to get disappointed. You better die right now. I'm never going to get disappointed. Don't ever have a mother-in-law. She'll hate you the day you get married and to the day you're on her. Kick the bucket. You say, well, I'm never going to get disappointed. Don't raise teenagers. I've never understood how a child can go to bed at 12 years old, perfectly normal, and wake up 13 crazier than a football bat. I will never understand. You say, I'm never going to get disappointed. Don't ever pastor a Baptist church. In fact, my advice is don't even attend a Baptist church. Life is filled with disappointment. I mean, John the Baptist comes on the scene like a fire, like a mighty rushing wind. The Holy Ghost is upon him. God is using him to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And they're responding by the thousands. And he's baptizing converts. He's in the zenith of his calling. And all of a sudden, his ministry is over. His preaching is over. And his ministry is going to end in a prison cell on death row. In a few chapters, he'll be beheaded for the cause followers of Christ, life's not supposed to end this way. Life is filled with disappointments. Because, you know, the television preacher told us if we go to church and pay our tithes and live right, that we'd always be wealthy and we'd always be healthy and our kids would never do anything stupid. I want to tell you something, brother. The TV preacher may say that, but God's Word doesn't say that. And sometimes life just takes a disappointing turn and we find ourselves in the prison of disappointment. Cancer is not supposed to come to our house. Divorce is not supposed to come to our house. Financial adversity is not supposed to come to our house. Church problems are supposed to happen in the liberal church, not the fundamental church. But ladies and gentlemen, may I remind you tonight, we don't judge the love of God by circumstances or by happenings. And sometimes we find ourselves in the prison of disappointment and in the prison of doubt, and the devil plays mind games. And if you're not careful, in that dark, dreary hour, you'll turn your back on God and go in the opposite direction. He is not only in the prison of disappointment, but he's in the prison of doubt. And I want you to see quickly tonight the severity of this text. As John cries out in this text, he is not doubting himself. He is not doubting his family. He is not doubting his friends. He's not doubting fellow laborers. This doubt, this disappointment, this about ready to give up is directed toward his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He didn't say, go ask my mama, is she for real? He didn't say, go ask my disciples, are they for real? He didn't say, go ask the Lord's disciples, are they for real? He said, you go up right to where Jesus is, and you ask him, is he for real? He's doubting the love of Christ. He's doubting the plan of Christ. His mind is on the abyss of a faith failure. But I'm glad in this dark hour, God was not finished, and God was not done with John the Baptist. I heard a high-powered evangelist say a while back, he said, for those of you that have ever doubted, I doubt you. I doubt him. Because sometimes at our best, our mind begins to wonder. Poor old John is in that prison. He can't touch the body of Jesus. He can't see the embodiment of the Holy Spirit. He can't hear the thundering audible voice of God. All he can hear and feel and see is the misery of the uncontrollable circumstances of life. And his heart is weak. And his mind is wondering, did I really see the dove? Did I really hear the voice? Did I really touch his body? Was all of this real? There's somebody sitting here tonight and you're wondering, did he really call me to preach? Did I say the right thing? Has my life been in vain? Has my preaching been in vain? Has my sacrifice been in vain? I've come to tell somebody tonight, the devil is a liar and the father of all liars. And no matter how bad it hurts, how bad it smells, how bad it tastes, God is still good. And even in the prison standing, somewhere in the shadows, you'll find a faithful friend. And quickly tonight, let me give you three things in this text Jesus uses to minister to his wounded servant. Now, there are some people in the Bible I wouldn't want to be, and I would not want to be these two fellas that had to walk up to Jesus Christ, the Rose of Sharon, and the Lily of the Valley, and the Bright Morning Star, and ask him to his face, hey, are you for real? I wouldn't want to be one of them. But if it did fall upon my lot, here is how it would go. I would say, Brother Ricky, go with me to talk to Jesus. Me and Brother Ricky would go up there and I'd say, Jesus, me and Brother Ricky need to talk to you. Go ahead, brother, tell him how you feel. And I'd throw you under the bus in a heartbeat. But if I know Brother Ricky like I think, he'd have said, now, Lord, me and Joe's got some questions. But it ain't us, it's that old Steve Goolsby. You know how he is. And son, them two disciples went up there and said, Jesus, the best you got, your voice crying in the wilderness, your forerunner, as Brother Sammy would say, your spiritual bulldozer. He's over there wondering and doubting. He's in depression. He's in discouragement. He just wants you to know, are you for real? Three things. Number one in the text, notice the evidence that Jesus gives. The evidence is overwhelming. What is the evidence? Jesus said, you go tell that old boy and show that old boy again. I know he's heard it before. I know he's seen it before, but he needs one more time. Go tell him and show him, whoop, one more time what you have seen and what you have heard. You go tell him the blind see and the lame walk and the lepers are cleansed and the dead's being raised and the gospel's being preached. Go tell him, look back through the years. I have not failed him nor anybody else. I have answered prayer. I have met needs. I have fulfilled promises. I've anointed him. I've blessed him. And you go tell that boy his life's not in vain. His preaching's not in vain. His ministry's not in vain. You go back and tell that boy I'm everything that I claim to be and a whole lot more. I'm the prayer answerer. I'm the sin forgiver. I'm the heart calmer. I'm the wave walker. I'm the problem solver. I'm the life changer. I'm the chain breaker. Tell him the evidence is overwhelming. I did what I said I would do, and I am who I said I was. Oh, there's some preachers sitting here tonight. Oh, did I hear the call? Did I answer the call? Should I pastor that church? Should I resign that church? Should I went to the mission field? Should I not went to the mission field? And how to shoulda dida? How to shoulda dida? Somebody needs to write a song on how to shoulda dida. Let me tell you what the Lord told me to tell you. Look back in your life. The evidence is overwhelming. He has no boundaries. He has no borders. And he has no limits. He loves me like I was his only child. The Bible's still the word of God. And the Holy Ghost is still in business. And the blood has never lost its power. So keep singing, keep preaching, keep living, keep loving, keep serving God. The evidence is overwhelming. Everything's all right in the Father's house tonight. And he's still in control. Look back over your life. Woo! The evidence is overwhelming. He is who he said he was. And he did what he said he was going to do. Number two. Not only the evidence Jesus gave, but notice the endorsement that Jesus gave. He has the full endorsement of Jesus Christ. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valleys. Jesus, the man's in doubt. He's wanting if you're real. Well, go tell him and show him what you've seen and heard. And as they turn to go, they're still in earshot. And they hear what Jesus says to that crowd about John. Jesus said, let me tell you what I know about this guy, John. Not what his mama said. Not what his buddy said. And since he is a Baptist, not what he said about himself. I have met some legends in their own time, but I'm dealing with a bunch of knotheads that are legends in their own mind. And there is a difference. Jesus said, let me tell you what I know about that guy, John. Of all that's born among women, can I just say that be everybody? I know more than a Supreme Court justice knows. If you're sitting here tonight, your mama done it. She birthed you into this world. And she ain't no birthing person. She be your mama. Can I get a witness in here now? Of all that's been born among women, that was all of them. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Immaculate Faithful Savior said, that old boy over there that's doubting and wondering and having a bad day, Jesus said, let me tell you what I know about that boy. Of all of y'all here that was born among women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said, I think he's great. Now, he's not thinking great, he's not talking great, and he's not acting great. But Jesus said, he's great. I want to ask the Lord something. Sweet Jesus, how can you say that that man over there that heard your voice, that felt your body, that saw your dove, he's not thinking right, he's not acting right, he's not talking right. How can you say he is great? He is not having a great moment. He's not having a great day. He's everything to me but great. Jesus would say, Brother Joe, here's the difference between you and me. All you can see and hear is what's coming out of his mouth, but I know what is down in his heart, and he's great. He's got great faith and a great Savior and a great book and a great message and a great spirit, and I just think he's great. I just want to say this tonight. Your church may put you down, your family may put you down, your friends may put you down, but sitting at the right hand of God the Father is your advocate, your bridge builder, your go-between. He says, I love him, I bled for him, I died for him. And Jesus said, woo! He's not acting great, he's not talking great, he ain't thinking great. But you see this, boy, I feel like preaching tonight. But the secret of his greatness is not in his gifts. It's not in his talents. It's not in his service. The secret of his greatness is it's in a great God. It's in a great Savior. He's preaching a great message. And I'm glad tonight when everybody puts you down, Jesus said, I think you're great. Let me put it in plain old Georgia, Tennessee, Maryland, Michigan language. You go tell that old boy, he may be disappointed in me, but I ain't disappointed in him. You go tell that boy, he may be wondering about me, but I ain't wondering about him. You go tell that boy, he may think about walking out on me, but you go tell him he goes to walk out on me. I'll walk in on him. God's not through with you. God's not done with you. When everybody puts you down, throws you away, stomps the life out of you, standing somewhere in the shadows is a faithful, sovereign God who is for you. He's endorsed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When my wife had our first child, Joseph, I don't know what happened. I think I woke up to the reality of the responsibility of being a dad. And not just a dad, but the dad over a son. You see, when you and your girlfriend are dating, or you and your wife are out before you have children, and somebody's kids begin to cry at a restaurant, you look at her and say, ours ain't gonna act like that. You just lied. Bad. And all them things you said, I'll tell you right now, I'll put my... And I mean the thoughts of being a father over a son, it depressed me. It really did. It got a hold of me. I got where I couldn't pray. I couldn't read. I got in a mess. So one weekend, Julie wanted to go see her mother and father. He passed into Virginia at that time. So they was up there spending the weekend, and I stayed at home to preach at our little church. And somebody said, well, why didn't you go with her? Hey, dude, if you're already depressed, the last place you want to go is her mother's. Keep it real. So I got through preaching, and I started up 75. Got to come up here to Chattanooga and get to Knoxville and get 81. And I got to Dalton, Georgia, and I had to get some gas. Well, that was the early days. You didn't pay at the pump. You had to go in and smell the smoke. Now they just pull the marijuana up every side of you, you know. So I went in to pay for my gas, and that was a lady working at that gas station. She was a church lady. She was a Christian. But I don't think she was a Baptist. In fact, I almost guarantee you she wasn't a Baptist, because what she did, Baptists don't do. I walked in that store to pay for my gas. Now listen, I didn't have on my suit. I didn't have on my Stacy Adams. I didn't have on my cufflinks. I had on them khaki pants with that striped shirt with that alligator and my Reeboks and my Braves cap. Come to think of it, that might have been the seat of my depression. That Braves cap. And I walked in, and that woman said, hallelujah. See, Baptists don't do that. She said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah to you. She said, glory to God. You a preacher, ain't you? Well, I looked down at my Reeboks, my khakis, my striped shirt, that alligator. I didn't have a Bible. I didn't have no tracks. I'm sorry, but I didn't. I was just getting some gas. She said, you're a preacher, ain't you? And I said, well. I said, ma'am, to be honest with you, yes. I ain't much of one. I'm lower than a snake's belly. I'm as discouraged as I've ever been in my life, but I'm not going to pull a Simon Peter. I'm not going to deny my calling. Yes, ma'am, I'm a preacher. She said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah to you. Boy, I was standing there. My curiosity got me. I don't have on preacher attire. I don't have tracks. I don't have a Bible. I said, ma'am, I got to ask you this. I said, how did you know I was a preacher? She said, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah to you. How did you know I was a preacher? She said, sonny boy, I saw Jesus on you when you came through the door. You know what I done? Hallelujah is what I done. Woo! I got in that Buick. I pulled that thing around behind that BP station. I threw that thing up in park. And I said, God, I ain't heard from you. I ain't felt you. I ain't seen you. But you must be hanging around somewhere close, because that little woman said she saw you in me. And before I know it, I was giving some more hallelujahs. I don't care how deep it is, how bad it hurts. God is not against you. God is for you. And he loves you. You've got his endorsement. Man, there's stuff coming out of this pulpit tonight. Woo! Everybody in your world may be putting you down. But at the right hand of God the Father, your advocate goes. The evidence, the endorsement. I close number three. Notice the exhortation. Come back to verse number six, the exhortation. Jesus said, now you make sure you tell him the evidence is overwhelming. You make sure you tell him he's got my endorsement, but you got to tell him this. Here's the exhortation. John, if you want to be blessed in the darkest hour of your life, don't get mad at me. Don't be offended in me. Don't turn your mind and your heart away from me. John, don't take out on me what others have put you through. I didn't put you in prison. I'm not cutting your head off. I'm for you. And John, don't you get mad at me. Don't you let the devil scandalize you. Don't you allow this unfortunate event in your life to cause you to get bitter and angry and quit serving me. Don't be offended. You don't have to be around me much to know that I was a mama's boy. I was the only son. I was the only brother. I was the only nephew. I was the only grandson. I was the only male cousin. And I'm going to tell you, I milked it for everything I could get out of it. I loved it. And my little mama thought I hung the moon. And I never told her any different. I had wonderful parents. These guys that get on the internet and gripe and bellyache about, I thank God for a preacher daddy. I thank God for an old-fashioned shouting mama. Woo! My daddy was Baptist. Dry, dead Baptist. Daddy was saved but didn't know how to enjoy it. On the other hand, my mama, bless her heart, was Church of God. All gifts included. Daddy was saved but didn't know how to enjoy it. Mama was saved. She didn't know for how long, but she enjoyed what she had. Woo! She sure did enjoy it a lot, thinking she could lose it. I'll just tell you that right. Mom and daddy got together, and it wasn't long till my mama saw that truth, and my mama got to believing like my daddy. But then my daddy got to acting like my mama. And then they had me, and I got the best of both worlds. I believe like a Baptist and enjoy like a holy roller. Can I get a witness in this place? My daddy was a great preacher. My daddy was a great role model. Daddy taught me how to hunt, taught me how to fish, taught me how to get a girlfriend, taught me how to drive, taught me how to outline sermons. I asked him one time, I said, Dad, how come you didn't teach me to play golf? He said, we're Christians. And we don't dabble in the things of this world. Someone said, is playing golf a sin? If you play the way me and you play, it's not a sin. It's an abomination in the sight of God. But my little old mama, she was the greatest Christian I ever met. My mama was the greatest Christian I ever met. She was my prayer warrior. Every Sunday morning at 9:30, my phone would ring and it'd be my mama praying for me. She'd say, bless him, Lord. Sick him, Holy Ghost. Breathe on him, sweet Jesus. I love my little mama. I miss her tonight with all my heart. The week before Thanksgiving 2023, we got the news. Mama was sick. Was up there at Duke Hospital in North Carolina, and I saw the doctor walking out in the hall. I went out and I said, sir, tell me, how bad is it? He said, it's pretty bad. She's got stage 4 inoperable stomach cancer. And there's nothing we can do but keep her comfortable. I said, well, please do that. I said, just do what you can. Just don't let my mama starve to death. I just couldn't imagine anybody starving to death in a world of plenty. I said, please don't let my little mama starve to death. He said, sir, I hate to tell you this, but unless God has mercy on your mama, that's exactly how she'll die. That tube will quit working and she will starve to death. I said, oh, no, God wouldn't let that happen to one of his choice youngins. You know, there's no way mama starved to death in the world of plenty. And I'm telling you, that's exactly how she died. Took her 4 months to do it, but she starved to death in a world of plenty. That rocked my world. One Saturday night, the church there in Georgia was so kind to me. They'd let me stay up there all week. They'd fly me in on Sunday. I'd preach to them. They'd let me fly right back. And one Saturday night, I'm standing there, man, it's time to go to Greensboro and catch that flight, and I don't want to go, but I know I need to. I want to stay. And how many of you had a mama like mine? She had eyes in the front, eyes in the back, eyes on the side, and radar. And she looked up at me. She said, Joseph Clarence Arthur. Now, I don't know about up here in Rossville, but buddy, where I'm from, if your mama calls you by all three of your legal names, you better look out, buddy. Business is going to pick up. You better get you a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket because your fingers is getting ready to get licked. Can I get a witness? She said, you wipe that thought out of your mind. And like all innocent little boys, I said, what thought? She said, you come here a minute. I thought she's going to whip me on her deathbed. She said, you come here a minute. You look at me, boy. God's been good to me. And he's been good to you. Now, I'm going to go see Jesus, and I'm going to go see your daddy. And you're going to get your carcass on that airplane, and you're going to fly to Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow, and peel the paint off the wall. Because if you don't, I'm going to haunt you. She said, I want you to know I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to leave y'all. She didn't say these exact words, but I think she meant she didn't want to leave me. I don't think she mind leaving my sisters at all. In fact, if she knew what I knew on them, she'd have left 20 years before. In fact, my sisters probably won't ever see my mom again. I'm just telling you like it. Oh. She said, I just don't want to leave y'all. She said, I ain't mad at him, honey. She said, it's going to take more than this stomach cancer to get me not to praise him. And I'm sorry you said I'm going to go see Jesus, but will you be glad for me? I ain't mad at him, honey. That's what Mama was saying. I'm not going to get mad at him. I'm not going to turn my back on him. I'm not going to let him scandalize my life. And I don't know where you're at tonight, what you're going through, but don't you let the devil make a scandal out of your life. Don't get mad at him. While they're coming with a song, I got a wild imagination. Can I use it just a minute? I don't know how far it was from where Jesus was to where John was. I don't know how long it took them to get there. I don't know. But I promise you, in the mind of John, it was millenniums. As soon as John said, go ask him, is he the Christ? Do we look for it? And as soon as those guys turned and walked away, I believe he thought, oh my, what have I just said? I can't believe I'm that weak. I don't know what Jesus is going to think of me now. Oh, I bet I've really messed up this time. And finally, one day, John peeks through those bars, and here comes them two fellas back with a word from Jesus. And honey, I believe his heart is about to beat out of his chest. Then boys come through that door, and John said, what'd he say? What'd he say, boys? Is he mad at me? Is he done with me? What did Jesus say? He said, John, he said, Jesus said, the blind see. The lame walk. The dead are raised. And John, he's for you. He thinks you're great. It didn't get him out of prison. It didn't even put him off death row. But it gave him enough courage and faith to face the unknown. And finish well. Stay with him tonight. He deserves better than you and I walking off from him. And I wonder how many people tonight, while we stand all over this building, Brother Waters begins to play, you would say, by the help of God, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit, I'm staying with him. I'm not breaking my vow. I'm not walking off away from him. You ought to just come find your place. And say, Lord, when I don't understand, now, he is worthy now of our faithfulness. Stay with him. It's worth it.